Jeffrey Christian. He's the managing director of the CPM Group. Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
What does the CPM Group do?
We're actually a commodities research consulting company. So we study the commodities markets and currency markets, and then we advise really anybody that has a large financial exposure to commodities or currencies on what we think the markets are going to do.
And I know you travel a globe in your work, Singapore, Spokane, Washington, New Orleans, Europe. You've been all over lately.
Right. Yeah, I put a couple hundred thousand miles on. I don't have a good carbon footprint.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your thoughts on Occupy Wall Street. But before we do that, tell me, what are your thoughts about all the debt that we seem to have worldwide and how that affects your business?
Well, you know, we have an enormous amount of debt in Europe, Japan, the United States primarily. And it affects our business in a variety of ways. You know, first off, you know, having a lot of debt is not bad if you can pay for it. The problem is that we've accelerated the rate of growth in debt and decelerated the rate of growth in real economic activity. And so that's causing big problems in terms of overall economic conditions. And when economic conditions are bad, people don't have money to buy things like coffee and cotton and copper and steel, so the commodities markets ultimately suffer.
Jeffrey, there are a lot of folks concerned that the politicians are dragging their feet and finding some solutions for these challenges. Do you agree with that?
I'm very concerned about the lack of political response to these issues. I mean, let's be honest, the U.S. Politicians have really demonstrated to the world that they are not up to the task. They're playing politics with something that's very important in the economic and financial area. We've already suffered one downgrading in the U.S. Treasury ratings. We're suffering other problems, and these guys continue to fiddle. It's a really big problem. And it's exacerbated by the fact that I think that there are a number of things that are relatively modest reforms that if they actually took those steps, we could have some really significant improvements in the overall economic environment.
What are those?
Well, you know, we have a marginal tax rate for the highest people right now of 35%, and that's down from, I think, 39.6% when Clinton was in. And when Clinton was in, he was running a budget surplus, and he actually paid down the federal debt by almost $1 trillion over 4 years. If we went back to Clinton's 39.6%, we would generate an additional $143 million in tax revenues to reduce our deficit. If we tightened up some of the tax loopholes, so this is just on the top 1%, right? Just the top 1%. If we raised their marginal tax rate 4.6%, we generate $140 billion. If we tighten up the loopholes so they pay the other 35%, it's hundreds of billions of dollars more. And then there are some changes in the corporate tax laws. You know, Jeffrey Immelt was completely right when he put out those full-page ads earlier this year saying, look, GE made all this money last year and paid no corporate taxes in the United States without breaking the law. You guys have to change the law. And yet the politicians don't do it. You know, if you just change a few corporate tax codes and a few personal tax codes marginally, you could probably solve the federal debt problem.
Well, that sounds easy. What's the challenge with us getting going on these?
You know, it's something that's been going on since 1981, and it's there's no excuse for it. I mean, it ultimately it's politics and it's money. There are moneyed interests that have been paying politicians to drag their heels and give too much money to the top part of the economy. I mean, it really is that simple. You know, in addition to that, it part of it is modern life. You know, we've been papered over by lawyers. So that if you look at it, you know, the Volcker Rule is a great idea. And now you have thousands of pages of legal dithering about how to apply the Volcker Rule. If you go back to the Great Depression and the reforms that FDR put in place, you know, these were like three-sentence regulations. You know, thou shalt not do this, period, end of the discussion. But now what you have is anything that comes along. I mean, Dodd-Frank's was thousands of pages long. The ultimate effect of Dodd-Frank's will be to delay any real reform because it's too cumbersome to implement. And you have all these lawyers arguing over it. And so any reforms are delayed. We're just as exposed, if not more exposed, than we were before Dodd-Frank's was passed. And you've got Dodd-Frank's in the way of real financial market reform.
Jeffrey, politicians are going to be the death of us.
Well, it's politicians, it's lawyers, it's just the system. And that's the problem. It's the system. You've got somebody like Obama who comes in as a real reformer and saying the right things, and as soon as he gets in, he just gets bogged down in the politics and the bureaucracy.
Do you see any change coming anytime soon?
Well, that's the thing that makes me the most pessimistic, is I don't see how we get out of this. Like I said, I'm not a revolutionary anymore. I'm a reformer. And I think that with some very modest reforms, we could solve a lot of economic problems and social problems in the United States. But I just don't see how we get there, given our current political system.
What is your perspective on the Occupy Wall Street protest?
I was talking to my wife this morning. I said I was going to be on this show, and I said, when we were kids, we knew to occupy buildings because they have plumbing and they have heat. I think that they've got a lot of really good ideas. There are obviously there's a lot of undifferentiated rage, and that's what's scary. Undifferentiated rage, if it can be harnessed for good, can really lead to real reforms. But oftentimes what it is it just burns itself out.
Well, and it also seems like the politicians really aren't listening, and if anything, they're mocking, and maybe it's because of the process. Maybe the Occupy folks aren't organized enough. They really don't have an agenda that has some meat to it, but still, I think that their actions are being shunned.
Well, I think there's some people on the radical right who are very happy that Occupy Wall Street's there because it gives the radical right fodder and a target. So they can go back to the Tea Party boys and say, look, this is coming up here. I tell the story about talking to a Republican politician in March of 2009, a month after Obama's inauguration, and they were saying how Obama's plans were socialism. And I said, you don't really think this is socialism, do you? Because I can show you real socialism. And they said, no. And I said, so why are you saying that? And they said, because in the period, I guess, 1932 to 1936, the Nazi Party in Germany was the minority party, and for 4 years they kept saying, you don't have to vote for the Nazis, you can vote for the socialists. And in 1936, they came into power. And I said, so you're taking a cue from the Nazi Party? He said, quote, it worked for them. You've got the radical right that wants to radicalize and draw extremes. And Occupy Wall Street, for all of the good it could do, is actually giving those guys fodder. Then you have people like Bloomberg. I mean, one of the things that's happened down on Wall Street.
Jeffrey, I've got to get to a news break. I'm going to call you back and get you back on. Fascinating stuff. Thank you.
Okay, bye.